All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of the Psalms, and specifically to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. I was going to save this and do it Wednesday night, but I had another sermon that I was going to preach on the rich fool that is found in the Gospels, a story that has just filled with application. And Friday afternoon, I sat down and just started typing and came out with this message that I'm going to give you this morning. And I'm going to tell you that we're probably going to lose our tax-exempt status when I'm through this morning. So I just want you to be aware of that. You know, I'm not happy with the direction that our nation took this week. I'm not happy at all. And I think that what we need to do is we need to be aware of a few things that I'm not sure are being said. And if it means that we lose our tax exempt status, then we just lose our tax exempt status. But I have a few things that are burdening my heart this morning. And I want to share them with you. Look, please, at Psalm 2. Verse 1 says, "Why do the heathen rage?" And we are seeing an awful lot of raging. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord." That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah God. "The kings and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." That's the Lord Jesus. "Saying, let us break their bands asunder." In other words, let's take God's grip off of us. Let's get God out. Let's break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But verse 4 says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak," the Lord, "unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." That's Jerusalem. "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye..." What's the next word? "Judges." That's ironic, isn't it? "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled, "Are You Depressed?" Are you depressed? Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And Lord, I pray that you will bless this morning as we look at this great messianic psalm, this psalm that is a prophecy of what will happen when the Lord Jesus comes back to defeat the armies that will have assembled against Israel and to establish his throne upon the kingdom and his kingdom upon this earth from Jerusalem. And Father, I pray that you will bless the word of God to every heart today. We may not agree with everything that is said, but Father, I pray that in principle, we will realize that there are certain foundational truths that do not change. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God will touch our hearts and enlighten our minds and enable us to get a little better picture of the battle, the struggle that is taking place for the soul of this nation between the devil and yourself. And so, Father, bless and help us to be armed and to be equipped with the truth of thy word. And Lord, may we not be afraid to take a stand for what is right. So, Father, fill me with your spirit and help me this morning as I speak and empower your word from on high. In Jesus' precious name we ask it, and amen. Many years ago, the psalmist David penned these words. This is, as I said in the prayer a moment ago, what is called a messianic psalm. It is a prophecy that defines for us what the Lord is going to do when he comes back to this earth. We know that the next prophetic thing to happen on God's calendar is what we call the rapture of the church. I'm looking forward to that. I wish it would happen today before I have to go out into the heat. I wish that the Lord would come back and just rapture us to heaven and get us out of this mess that the world is in today. Then there will follow the rapture of the church, a 7-year tribulation period. And then at the end of that 7-year tribulation period, the Bible in Revelation 20 talks about the return, literally, physically, of the Lord Jesus Christ and those that are saved, who were raptured, and those already there that have gone by the way of death. And we're all coming back with him to rule and reign for that 1,000 years. Now, that's the promise. The same promise has been in the Bible. It has been believed. It has been preached on. It has been hammered from this pulpit many, many times. Now, this Wednesday, the United States of America will be celebrating her 236th birthday. But sadly, because of the economy and the blatant disregard for the Constitution that we have been experiencing, and all the scandals and the socialism, the redistribution of wealth, and the unbelievable rulings of the Supreme Court this week, I think there are a lot of people in our country who have lost their zeal to celebrate, and they're discouraged. When I heard Thursday the decision that was made by the Supreme Court, I was almost as depressed as I was back in November of 2008 when the progressive liberals won the White House, the Senate, and the House. Many folks have said to me since Thursday, "Pastor, I just feel like the wind has been knocked out of me. What do we have left? What are we going to do?" And I think that as discouraged as I was, as I watched the news on my computer, as discouraged and distraught as I was, that even got worse when I got home at 4:30 and turned on the news and watched Pelosi and about 50 other liberals walk out on the duty they swore with a hand on the Bible to perform. Walked out of Congress in protest instead of doing what they were sent there to do. They walked out. And I cannot believe that those arrogant ideologues could so blatantly say to the family of the slain border agent, Brian Terry, "We don't care. We don't care that you do not have the answers as to how your son died. We don't care." That's what they were saying. When George Bush selected John Roberts to serve on the United States Supreme Court, everyone assumed, because it was a Republican president, that he would be like Clarence Thomas, that he would be akin to Samuel Alito, that he would be a justice like Antonin Scalia, a conservative with strong constitutional views and with strong convictions. I remember 6 years ago when he was selected by Bush, I remember watching the story on the news and thinking to myself, what judicial experience does this man have? Because he didn't have judicial experience. And I remember then that evening watching the pundits and the most conservative of those that were interviewed were asking the question, why would he choose a man who has no judicial experience? And the common theme, the common idea was, well, he just must be a strong conservative. And I thought it was strange. And then just shortly after he was put on the bench, President Bush appointed him to be the Chief Justice. And I remember being taken aback by that appointment. And I thought, you know, why him? Shouldn't Clarence Thomas be put in that position? He had been on the court longer than the others. And I thought, why not put Clarence Thomas on there? He has a proven record. We know where he stands. I thought, well, we know where Scalia stands. Why not put Scalia in the position? But no, he put John Roberts in that position. We knew that Thomas and Scalia had a proven record of conservatism and of common sense and of being very strong constitutionalist. But instead, he put John Roberts as Chief Justice. Well, folks, this week has revealed the real John Roberts. He could have, and he should have, followed the Constitution and done the right thing and killed this entire health care bill. But he voted with the four progressive liberals, and there was no doubt where they were going to vote. He voted with the four progressive liberals for the king's destruction of America as we have known it. He sided with the progressive liberals on Monday in the Arizona immigration case. Not a whole lot was said about that. But I saw raised eyebrows among conservatives. And they sat and said, uh-oh, what does this mean for Thursday's vote? He sided with the liberals on Monday. Uh-oh. And sure enough, he sided with them again. And I submit to you folks that again, we were duped. Again, we were deceived. Now, let me tell you something. I want you to think back 2 years ago to when the health care bill was rammed through Congress. And I mean that literally. I want you to think back 2 years ago. This health care bill that was given constitutional authority on Thursday was dumped upon America through deception, through fraud, through deceit, through false advertisement, and through lies. It was a disgrace the way they rammed it through. Nancy Pelosi said that we have to pass the bill so we can find out what's in the bill. And they had the majority in the House, and they had the majority in the Senate, and they passed it. It was all done through deception and through false advertisement and through deceit. They did not even read the bill. Now, you remember all that. And now we have been duped again by the people who are supposed to follow the Constitution. We were deceived during the primaries 3.5 years ago. We were deceived by the promise of hope and change. Well, we got change, all right, from democracy to socialism. But it was not what we were told we were going to get. We then got, 2 years ago, deceived by Congress on the bill. And then on Thursday, we got deceived by the Supreme Court. And now we sit here on our nation's 236th birthday feeling like we've had the air knocked out of us. Wondering, what is the hope for our nation? Folks, we now have the largest tax increase that has ever been placed on our country, about to hit the middle class. And with this ruling, my question is, where is it going to stop? You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, if the king and his court decide now, because of the ruling, if the king and his court decide that you are too fat and you are thinking, I'd like to have a bag of potato chips, are you now going to have to pay a fat tax to buy chips? You say they wouldn't do that. Okay, you go ahead and convince yourself of that. They're already doing it in New York City. What if the king and his merry enforcers decide that you cannot drive your SUV because it's polluting the air and it uses too much gas? Are you now going to have to pay a tax, an SUV tax, so you can drive your Explorer? If you buy a Prius or a Volt, you will not have to worry about being taxed. But if you want to drive your Explorer, well, they now have the power to tax you for driving your Explorer. Folks, that is exactly what John Roberts and the four other progressive liberals on the court, making it a 5-4 decision, gave King Obama and his merry band of mercenaries the authority to do with this bill. So I don't blame you for being a little discouraged. I don't blame you for having a long face today. But I started to think, I can't go in here and get everybody all depressed. We're already depressed. And after what I just said to you, you're probably thinking you're more depressed. But wait a minute, folks. It's not over yet. The Obama mandate was upheld as constitutional. And Chief Justice Roberts, in his opinion, wrote a statement that I'm sure he hoped would pacify everybody and not give him away as much as the decision did. But I'm telling you, it hadn't happened. Even though he put this line in there, it hadn't helped his case. But Roberts said that if the people of America do not like a law that their elected officials pass, then the people can remove these elected officials in the next election. Now, I want to say to Mr. Roberts, that has always been true. That was the crutch that he used to justify siding with the king. But that's always been true. And in my opinion, that is why America is such a great country. Because we have elections. We are not ruled by a king. By the way, when he read the first part of that monologue, how many of you thought he was talking about Obama? Raise your hand. Were you listening? Yeah, most of you did, didn't you? He wasn't talking about Obama. He was talking about King George, King of England. And what was going on in England was the same thing that's going on today. And they said, we're not going to have this. And they came over here. And that's why we have representative government and not a king. That's why we have a constitution that governs our land. We have elections. We are not ruled by a despot. We are not ruled by a monarchy. But it was not John Roberts' place. And here is what is just got me bent. It was not his place to bail out of his responsibility and change the wording of that bill that he was given just so he could deem it constitutional. He overstepped his boundary. It is not the responsibility of the Supreme Court to make law. That's Congress's job. And he changed the wording and agreed to deem it constitutional. So I say to you that we got duped again by another closet progressive Chief Justice John Roberts. So no wonder you're discouraged. Everyone thought that this would be struck down. Everybody. Nobody saw that he would overstep his boundary and change the wording so that he could deem it constitutional. Well, that next election is scheduled for this November. And dear friend, if we want our country back, this November will be the last shot we have of taking it from these socialists who are destroying it piece by piece. America needs to stand up and give these progressives a mandate that is loud and clear. And that mandate is this: get out. Get out of our White House. and get out of Congress and get out of the House of Representatives, get out of the Senate, get off the bench, just get out. We cannot trust the White House to do what is best for America. We cannot trust the Supreme Court now to do what is right for America. We cannot trust the Senate, the liberal majority of the Senate, Republican and Democrat, to do what is right for America. We have to trust that there are still some rational, reasonable, hardworking, respectable, honest people in America who will stand up for democracy and freedom and who will side with truth and govern this nation in accordance to our founding document, which is the Constitution of the United States. This ruling by divine fiat has got to stop. And we need America to go to the polls in November and send a mandate to the White House and to the Senate and to the House that we don't want the redistribution of our hard-earned money. And that's what this bill does. That's why there is so much opposition to it. It takes the opportunity to tax, and there are no limits to it, and take the tax money to pay for everybody else's health care. That's redistribution of wealth. And I don't know about you, but I think I pay enough taxes. We need to send a mandate that we don't want socialized government health care. We need to send a mandate that we don't want our citizens killed with guns that we put in the hands of drug dealers. You say, well, that started under Bush. You go ahead and believe that if you want to. That's been proven. It did not. But that's their story, and they're sticking to it. And if you don't believe it, you look it up for yourself. If they have nothing to hide, turn over the documents. Give the House of Representatives, whose job it is to do what they're doing. We sent them there to do what they're doing, and they're obstructing justice. We need to send a message. We need to send a message that we don't want gay marriage. And we don't want Israel powerless to defend itself. That we don't want radical Islamists running every Muslim nation in the Middle East. Because that's what we're getting. I told you a year ago that the Arab Spring was not a good thing. I told you a year ago that the Muslim radical brotherhood would be running Egypt before the year was out. They're running Egypt right now. I saw it coming. And they're doing so under the support, or with the support, or through the support of Washington, D.C. We need to send a mandate. We need to send a loud and clear mandate to these people who are ruining America. You say, all right, Pastor, I'm discouraged. What do we do? How do we look at this whole mess? Well, let me give you two quick things. Number one, first of all, we need to realize that God is in control. God is in control. You say, but Pastor, this stuff is destroying our country. It's dividing our people. It is destroying our economy. I know. But you must realize that the eternal God of heaven is in complete control of everything that is happening. God knows what these people are doing. As difficult as it is for us, because we love our country, We have to understand that the plan of God for this world is running right on schedule. It's not one day behind schedule, nor is it one day ahead of schedule. Everything is right on track. Now, what we have done to this point is we've done what we can do, but we can do more. What we have done is we wrote letters. We made phone calls. We went and voted in the 2010 midterm elections. We have signed petitions. We have done what we can. But they just keep on chipping away at the foundation, hoping that the whole thing will one day crash. And brethren, if we give them 4 more years in the White House and 4 more years in Congress, we will see it crash. And I say that simply based upon what this debt is doing to our country. Truth is, it's probably too late right now to turn it around. It probably is. Could you imagine being $16 trillion in debt? Not 16 million. That blows your mind, doesn't it? That causes the wires to fray in your head. Not $16 billion. I can't even comprehend that. But $16 trillion. And it'll be $23 trillion in 4 more years. I don't know that we can turn it around. I don't know that anybody can turn it around except the Lord. And I'm not sure we can survive the debt and the stranglehold that it is putting upon the coming generations. But I do know this. We cannot stop. Never can we stop in our pursuit to rescue our country. We cannot stop. We must get registered to vote, and we must go to the polls in November and vote. I'm going to ask Delegate Stocksdale, and I've asked Griff Manahan, and he is going to do this. And anyone else that knows how to do it and has the ability to do it, to set up a table in the foyer, and we're going to remind you. And the forms will be there on hand, so if you are not registered, you can get registered to vote. I'm going to ask our folks to volunteer to run our vans in November. Run our vans, and if you cannot get to the polls, you can call and we will come and pick you up and drive you to the polls, and if we have to, we will hold you by the arm and walk you inside. We will let you climb on our bike and carry you in. We will put you in a wheelchair and push you in, or take your bed out of your room and push you down the hallway, whatever it takes. It is time for us to wake up, or we're going to lose it. Now, we are to do what we can do, but we're also to realize and trust that God knows what He's doing. And folks, I believe that we cannot lose sight of the big picture. We have a Bible, and that Bible has God's plan in it. And when we read the Bible, we see an omnipotent God has mapped out His plan for the future. And we know that nothing is going to stop God from fulfilling His plan. There is not a power on earth, and there is not a power in heaven. There is not a power in Washington, D.C. that can stop God from carrying out His plan that He has perfectly laid out in this book. As I've told you before, I don't see America in prophecy. I don't see it. And since I started looking at the fact that Islam matches the religion of the Antichrist to a T, I don't see Europe in the Bible either. except for a land of heathens where Paul took the gospel to them. I don't see Asia there except for where God sent the gospel to them. Could it be that everything collapses? Could it be that there is no more United States of America from self-implosion? Could it be? I'm telling you, folks, I don't know what's coming, but I know that God is in control. I mean, maybe the reason America is not found in prophecy is because there will be no America. Maybe, like Rome, our nation will collapse, self-destruct, implode because of all this debt and these regulations and this redistribution of wealth and the progressive ideology. We are $16 trillion in debt, and just last week, Hillary wrote a check from your money out of the Treasury to go to some redistribution center around the world to help poor people, because America has just so messed up the environment. So let's just write a check for $2 million, which is a down payment on $100 million that she agreed to. I don't know about you, but I could use $100 million. Maybe God will give us one more shot before Jesus returns. Maybe we will have a chance in November to rid our country of the political cancer that is progressive liberalism. We have no guarantee that if we vote this bunch of political hacks out of office, that we will get replacements who can be trusted to uphold the Constitution. We have no guarantee of that. And but I'm not sure they can fix it anyway. But I'm telling you, we cannot stand four more years of liberalism. Liberalism never built anything. Never. It only destroys. That's all it does. It's a cancer. And it eats from the inside out. When liberalism moved into denominational churches all over America, all it did was empty out the churches. And now all over America, you got quote unquote Protestant. They're not protesting anything these days, except for truth. Churches all over America, and they're empty. Why? Because liberalism moved in. I don't care if it's political, religious, social, doesn't matter. It's the same ideology, and it destroys. Number two, what do we need to do? Secondly, we need to get back to following God and the Bible. Oh, that angers liberals when I say that. I will get emails this week because I said right there, we need to follow God and the Bible. Instead of following men and a party, we need to get back to one nation under God. And the reason that we're not one nation under God is because we're no longer under God. When we honored God, we were a great nation. We prospered. We were blessed. We honored life. We don't honor life anymore. There are death panels in this bill. A bunch of bureaucrats are going to sit around one of these days, if this thing stands, and make a decision about whether or not your life is worth the money to keep you alive. I want my kids making that choice, not a bureaucrat. I know my kids are not going to pull a plug on me. Amen. I don't trust them not to do that. When we honored God, we were a great nation. We honored life. We honored freedom. The rest of the world looked to us as the moral compass of the world. But now we have lost our conscience. We've lost our way. We've lost our wars. We hadn't won a war in forever. We put our men over in harm's way and then tie their hands behind their backs. We're losing our freedoms one by one. And as a result, we've lost the blessing of God upon our land. Folks, we didn't lose wars when we honored God. But we took prayer and the Bible out of schools back in the 60s. We got all politically correct in the 80s. We took the name of Jesus Christ out of our prayers in the 90s. I used to go down to Annapolis and pray at the beginning of the day sometimes. And one year I got a letter from the sergeant at arms, and he said, "Thank you, doctor, for agreeing to come and pray for the opening of the House of Delegates on Thursday, the date. And while we know that you're busy and blah, 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 we appreciate you coming." Now, just a reminder to keep your prayer under 2 minutes. And just a reminder that we have a lot of different folks that will be in the audience who are of various and sundry faiths. And they are sometimes offended at using the name of Jesus Christ in your prayer. Please do not pray in the name of Jesus. And there was a little basket at the end of my desk, had a bag in it. And I wadded that thing up, made 2 points. And on Thursday, I went down. And I walked up, was introduced, and I walked up and I looked out. I said, "Let's bow our heads, please." I said, "Let's bow our heads, please." Heads bowed. And they were. I said, "Heads bowed." And I bowed my head. They were all wondering, "Well, where's his little card? He doesn't have a little card." "Oh, you mean he's going to really pray?" And they were looking, make sure, see if I was going to pull a card out. I didn't pull a card out. And I reached up and I grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar. And I shook the altar. And when I got finished, I said something to the effect that, "Father, help these people to realize that government is an institution ordained of God. These people are here to do your will, not their own. And as we pray for the decisions of the day, lead them and guide them and give them wisdom to do what is right to do, regardless of the consequences." Oh, you could have heard a pin drop. I said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only wise God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the sovereign creator of the universe, in the name of Jesus Christ." What, drawers were slamming and people were pounding on their desks so I couldn't be heard. And y'all know I got my own built-in PA system, so I just cranked it up a notch. Ain't go out pound me. And now they don't invite me to come pray anymore. And I've checked with some of my friends. They don't invite them either. The ironic thing, folks, listen, is that the radicals of the 60s that got all of this stuff started, those radicals of the 60s are now running our government. Anarchist, radicals, communist. Communist. One of our own people here in Maryland got an award just last year from the Communist Party. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. They asked him, sir, did you know that that was a communist meeting that you went to? And boy, you talk about getting out of there. He didn't want to talk about that. Anarchist. Now sitting in Congress. Now sitting in the courtrooms. Now sitting in the White House. And they are shredding and ripping our Constitution and laughing while they're doing it. And I submit to you folks that throwing God out has not worked very well. Like Israel of old, we have removed the ancient landmarks, and we are paying a tremendously high price for turning our backs on the God who blessed us. Now, I've already split my britches, so it won't hurt just to rip the whole seam out. I believe, and I'm going to get criticized for this, but hey, you know, have at it. I don't think it's a mistake that Florida is underwater. I don't think it's a mistake that Colorado is on fire. I don't think it's a mistake that we are experiencing the hottest temperatures that we have ever had on record. I don't think that it's a coincidence that a storm blows up just to the west of Chicago, tears up Chicago, and then comes across and tears up Washington, D.C., all in a six-hour period. You say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying God's not happy with us. Y'all, God doesn't do stuff like that. Okay, you just keep telling yourself that. If that's what works for you, you just keep telling yourself that. But folks, I got a Bible here, and my Bible says that God is going to look at his son one of these days and say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. I'm telling you, folks, God is fully aware of what's going on. Now, what do we do? Well, it's time to stand up and be counted. It's time to sit here and say, wait a minute, you are not going to take my country away without a fight. Now, they may take it away, but not without a fight. We have got to stand up. And if we don't, then we're going to have to live with the tyranny. May God bless the United States. May God bless the USA.